Hello, this is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University's Strategic Communications. Thanks for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. We're going to talk Wichita State softball today with assistant coach Elizabeth Economan. We're sitting here in the press box at Wilkins Stadium looking at the new fence. They pushed it back a little bit. The corners are the same. It's a nice new padded fence. Since that's what we're looking at, Elizabeth, tell us about the fence. Was that a noticeable difference in fall scrimmages?
You know, very noticeable. From it's very eye-pleasing. It's beautiful. They did a great job putting it up. Looks really sharp. From a distance perspective, it's been a difference maker for us. Our home run numbers were not quite as high as they have been in the past, but our doubles went up. We had 5 triples in the fall, which is pretty impressive for a team that didn't have a ton of speed last year. So I think it does play quite a bit bigger, which I think will be good for our added speed, and we got the outfield that can cover it. So it's different. It was a short porch last year. Felt a little bit like an airport or a launch pad. So it opens it up for a little more of the extra base hit on the offensive side.
Casey Williams and McKenzie Wright, they're probably happy to see that. That will help their home run numbers stand up near the top.
Yes,
or at the top,
yeah.
Of Wichita State
records should stay for a minute.
Yeah, it is a good look. You got the new font and the flying W and all that kind of stuff. Okay, Elizabeth came to Wichita State. This is her second season. She spent 6 years at Pittsburgh State, head coach there. So let's get to the real important question. Chicken Mary's or Chicken Annie's? What was your preference when you lived out in Southeast Kansas?
I would say I tried them all, because that's what you have to do. And, of course, not thinking health, you have to have as much fried chicken as possible. But I'm going to pick Bardo's, which is a wild card. It's a little place in Frontenac, just north of Pittsburgh. They tend to win the chicken wars at the Little Balkans Days Festival in September. So they're doing something different at Bardo's. But I know the Chicken Mary's and Chicken Annie's found themselves on the Food Network, but I think Bardo's is a little hidden gem.
Wow, all right. Tell us about, is that family style? Is that how it's served?
It's probably, my plate was probably a family size plate. it can be, but I mean, you can get just about everything there. And then if you go on Friday night, you can watch them polka dance in the back room.
Ooh, wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Chamber of Commerce from Pittsburgh, yeah. And Frontenac. You're going to love this podcast. You went to Truman State, also the same place Christy Breadbetter went to. You played shortstop there. So you played one season with Christy, and then she was coach the next season. What was she like as a teammate and then as a coach?
You know, as a teammate, well, she was a senior, I was a freshman. I think I spent that entire year just being scared to death to do anything wrong. So I just followed all the rules and worked my hardest and tried to keep everybody happy. She was she was back there directing, commanding everybody from behind the plate, and did a great job, obviously, as an offensive player and one of the better catchers I've ever watched. Very rarely did a ball get by her. And she hit really well for us, obviously. And then to transition into a very young head coach as a fifth-year student, jumped right in. I mean, when you know, you've seen the game from her perspective behind the plate, you know where everybody's supposed to go, you know what everybody's supposed to be doing. So she jumped in there despite the fact that she was 22, 23 years old and hit the ground running. So got a head start on a profession that she didn't know she was going to be great at.
Do you subscribe to the theory that catchers make great coaches, great managers? That seems to be a popular thing to talk about.
Yeah, I think they should. I think you have to know what you're doing back there in order to run the field. And so it's an easy transition to become a manager or a coach. So, and she's bright, so it worked out really well for her.
No question. All right, you've been here for a little more than a year. Been through one full season, one full spring season with the Shockers. It was a great season. Ended up with a couple wins in the NCAA regional down in Fayetteville. Give us some impressions about this program. What did you learn, observe, going through it for a full year?
You know, I really feel lucky, or maybe I reap the benefits of the 6 years that Christy and her prior staffs put in before I got here. So there wasn't a ton of grunt work or foundation to be built when I got here. I was lucky enough to join a team that was very talented and had some success in the past. So from that side, I felt lucky to jump right into something that was going in the right direction. After being a newbie for a year, it was eye-opening, very different from Division II that I had spent 6 years coaching and obviously 4 years playing a ways back. But overall, what a great program to jump into. Very established, the culture is solid, the foundation is great. So it really, I feel bad saying this, I didn't have to do a whole lot of tough stuff. It was pretty much done for me. I rolled into a really good situation and had great hitters to work with, and they welcomed me with open arms, and it was a good transition. Made my transition in coaching smooth, and my family's transition to Wichita great.
Did anything about the American Athletic Conference surprise you?
You know, I really had no expectations. I wasn't really sure what I obviously had followed the Shockers as they were part of the Valley for a long time, just keeping an eye on Christy and her teams, and so knew a little bit more about the Valley and what to expect there. And then they made the change in conference right around the time I think I accepted the job. So it was pretty much just kind of that seamless summer transition. So I didn't have a ton of expectations. I knew who was in the conference. I'd done a little research. But without having seen a lot of those teams in person, it was hard to gauge, you know, what we were getting ourselves into. So I think from when we got into the spring, we made those trips and those teams came here, to really see it live, it was eye-opening, and to then be able to go, okay, this is what we're up against and this is how we're going to plan for it. But really nice, the places we went last year, beautiful stadiums. I mean, it really good competition. So I feel like it was, and obviously I think everybody would agree, from a competition standpoint or overall benefit to Wichita State, it was a great move to join that conference.
Is there a overall style of play that kind of predominates in the American, or is it so geographically spread out that you get a lot of different stuff?
You know, it is spread out, which was kind of fun to travel to and see a lot of different places. But I would say, and this is based on what I've heard and kind of my assessment before I got here, there's a lot better pitching in the American than there was in the Valley. It seems like the hitting wasn't necessarily I feel like sometimes in the Valley it looked like it might have been a slugfest. A lot of 8-10 run ball games. And that was a little tougher to do in the American. I feel like the pitching, everybody had a good number one, and the teams that had a deeper pitching rotation ended up doing a little bit better. So yeah, I think pitching and defense was better than it was in the Valley, just based on numbers and what I had heard people talking about, since I didn't get to witness the Valley. But yeah, and there's some, obviously we went to South Florida for an extended period of time and went to East Carolina, and those ballparks are big. So there, I mean, yeah, South Florida, I think center field was 230 and East Carolina was pretty big too. So there's a lot of, I think pitchers are happy to pitch there.
So the team rolls in August to get started. Is there a carryover from last season's success?
I sure hope so. I think the returners, I think now that, you know, we've got a pretty big senior class that has had good experience, and obviously coming off of one of the best seasons in history, you'd like to think they'll bring what they think is necessary to do it again and let that be the carryover. I know that they're setting a good example as far as work ethic and getting in the cages and really grinding it out. So, and I think there's a bit of excitement that goes with it, that once you get to that point, once you get to a regional, it's a very different atmosphere. It's big time and it's exciting. So I think now that they've been there, they got to go again. They don't want to miss out on something like that. And I think we had a realistic chance of getting out of that regional last year. I mean, we get a couple things to go our way, and maybe force a what-if game in the championship. You never know what could happen. So we're right there, and I think the seniors everybody that experienced it wants another shot at that.
How's this coaching staff approach that, you know, the possibility of, hey, here's where we were last year? Do you talk about that a lot, or do you more of the school of, let's put that aside and really focus on going forward?
I don't think it's something we talk about every day. It's been brought up, it's been mentioned that, you know, this is what we did and this is how we had to get to this point, and these are the things we need to do to get there again or to get beyond that point. So not something that we shove down their throats every day, but, you know, just, it's good to keep in the back of your mind to know that, let's remember the big picture, what we're working for, and we don't get sidetracked or start to slack off. We know what we need to do to get there, and we know how hard everybody else is working to do the same thing.
Wichita State went 6-1 in its fall scrimmages. A couple highlights, played Kansas and Oklahoma State. Overall impressions from the fall?
Overall, I was pretty happy. Last fall, we played a much weaker schedule. We played a lot of junior colleges that maybe didn't have a lot of pitching. So This fall we played two or three Division IIs, maybe NAIA, and then Oklahoma State and KU. So it was good to see. I feel like we faced better pitching this fall than we did last year. So that was, I think that was a definite benefit for our hitters. And then to face Oklahoma State and KU in kind of a big environment for the fall, you know, the Oklahoma State game here was well attended. It was, I wouldn't say feisty, but it had its moments where it felt like spring ball. And so that was good for our newcomers to feel a little piece of what it's going to be like every day in the spring. But overall, I mean, I think pitching stood out in the fall. I think Bailey Lang and Caitlin Bingham and Aaron McDonald all did a really good job, which was very good to see. I think everybody in our dugout enjoyed watching that, and that I think that fueled the offense a little bit. We did some good things at the plate. We did some bad things, too, but we need to know what we need to learn in order to work all fall. So overall, really happy with the fall.
I know you wanted the Oklahoma State and KU games to give you a better evaluation point. Oklahoma State defeated the Shockers 9-7, and then Wichita State ended the fall by going up to Lawrence and winning 7-0. Did you get what you wanted out of those two scrimmages specifically?
You know, I think we did. Oklahoma State, they've got a lot of new people, specifically in the circle. They added two transfers, one from Tennessee and one from Texas A&M, both very good. So it was good to see. We got to see a little bit of them. We got to see Samantha Shaw for four innings, which I thought was beneficial for our hitters. She's very good. Been one of the top pitchers in the nation for 3 years now. So to be able to get a glimpse of her early will help, again, our newcomers and some that didn't get to face that kind of pitching last year kind of open up their sights and say, okay, this is, if we're going to see this in, you know, day in and day out in the spring, we're going to have to really buckle down and do some work. So and then to go up to KU, obviously a program that's in transition, it's got a new coaching staff, beautiful facility, you know, obviously a great place to go play ball. And then to see them where they are, we're going to get them in the spring. And I would imagine by then they'll be much improved. So it gives us kind of a benchmark of, you know, this is where we were when we faced them. We expect them to get a lot better, so we're going to have to do the same thing. But it was nice to have a little bit of that better competition in the fall. It's easy to get into a game in the fall and get up 10-0 really quickly, and then kind of go back on your heels and coast and not take it as seriously. So it was good from a focus standpoint to really, for 10 innings, it's a long time, but for 10 innings to be in it every pitch, and it's just going to build that stamina and that endurance for the spring.
Let's get back to the pitching, because I would think that was maybe the biggest story of the fall. Wichita State really needed to find somebody to go behind Bailey Lang at number two, some depth. How did that go? How do you think about the pitching staff coming out of the fall?
You know, and I will tell you, and like I tell everybody in the office, I'm never going to pretend to know everything about pitching. I just know if I think we could hit them or not. That's how when I go recruiting, I go, ooh, would we want to hit off of her? And if I say yes, then we move on. If I say no, then we, that's somebody we want to look at. You know, Bailey Lang obviously proved herself last year and has great stuff on the mound. And offensively, too, she's a big piece of our offensive lineup. But coming into the fall, we needed to establish somebody that could help her. We ran her into the ground at the end of the year last year. And I think she wanted the ball. I think everybody wanted her to have the ball, but it would be nice when we get to the regional this year to have a little bit of fresh legs under you. So going in, we knew obviously what stuff Bingham has, and it was going to be a matter of how consistent can she be and what do we need to do to make her consistent, because we know when she's on, she's tough to hit. We saw glimpses of that throughout the spring where she was very good at times. We just didn't get it all the time. So she did a much better job. She was hard to hit for a lot of people this fall. And then Aaron McDonald came in and without knowing a ton about her, gets a ton of swing and misses, you know, just keeps people kind of off balance, and you're not really sure what she's doing at the plate, why you can't square it up, but she's getting people to miss a lot, and against our own team too. So she's got something funky happening that's going to keep people off balance. So if those three could get it together and keep it consistent, you know, and if Bailey Lang's having an off day, we have two to go to, or, you know, Bingham's having an off day, we have the other two to go to. And then you get a mix in Haley Martinez and Mackenzie Weber and use them in spots to get through a lineup once and throw off the timing. And there's different ways to use a staff of five that could be really detrimental to another team's offense. It was a lot of fun to watch other teams struggle with hitting them, not just our own.
Let's run through some fall numbers briefly here, and they are fall numbers, so there's kind of some variation with them. Caitlin Bingham, though, threw 19 innings, didn't give up an earned run, gave up only one run. Bailey Lang was excellent, as I think everybody expected. And then Erin McDonald, the transfer from Louisiana Tech that you mentioned, she had a 1.89 ERA through 19 innings, struck out 25, and walked 7. Let's talk a little bit more about Erin. What was her transition like to Wichita State? How do you try to, you know, make that go as smoothly as possible?
Well, she's, and I hope you get to know, and everybody will get to know her a little bit as the season progresses, but she's a personality. She's been a great addition to our team as far as funny and fun-loving and carefree, kind of a free spirit. And I'm getting to know her as well, so she'll probably normal out maybe a little bit. I don't know. I hope not. But we threw her right in the mix of she's living with three or four of the returners and fit right in, almost like she's been here this whole time, to be honest. So she adds she keeps things light. She adds a little bit of comic relief to practice sometimes. So, which may be part of her plan. I don't know. Keep everybody, you know, light and not really paying attention, and then she blows it by you. It's working. I think she's doing a good job there. But she's been a great teammate, a lot of fun to watch and get to know her, and the girls get to know her. They've embraced her quickly, and they do that. We've got, you know, 6 newcomers, and I feel like we've been here for 2.5 months, and it feels like it was the same as last year. So I think the returners know that team chemistry is a big deal for a team's continued success, that you can have 19 great players, but if you can't speak to one another, it's hard to cooperate and win games. So they jump right in. The team chemistry is a big piece for them as well, and they own it, and they make sure it works out. So getting to know her has been easy because they embrace her like she's been here for years.
Third base will be a key piece to figuring out the lineup, especially the infield. Got to replace Mackenzie Wright, who was the American Athletic Conference Player of the Year last year, and just great. One of the great shockers, both offensively and defensively. How's the infield shaking out, and how is third? Who did you look at third base during the fall?
Oh, everybody, I think. You know, when you have to replace somebody like Kenzie Wright, who is almost irreplaceable. I mean, she did so many things well that you kind of took it for granted because she's over there, and at least while I was here, played third base consistently. I know she caught a little bit before I arrived, and my understanding is she did a pretty good job there too. So she was one of those constants over there. You always knew what you were going to get from her, and then obviously setting a tone from a leadoff position in the offensive lineup. Big shoes to fill. So we knew that we had that going. That was going to be one of our big tasks this fall, is to identify how we were going to set up our infield. So we brought in freshman Addie Reese from the area, and she can play the infield. She plays third base, has played a little short, and actually played a little bit of second base yesterday at practice. So we're moving her around, and then we still have Riley Buck, who we moved from short to second to first last year. So she's gotten a little bit of everything, and so then we threw her in the mix at third this fall as well. And then Kaylee Hecker, who can play just about anywhere. She's not a bad option there. And then I don't see this happening, but Lori Anderico could play third base too. So she's been consistently performing at short, and so I don't think we'll move her yet. You never know how the season will shake out. But I think we have 3 to 4, maybe 5 good options over there. And then depending on who is hitting, obviously we'll build our offensive lineup and then see how the defense shakes out. But depending on who's at third, that may change who we have at second and first. And so I think it's really nice to have some depth and to have some versatility to where we're not stuck. We don't have to eat any at-bats or eat any defensive plays to, you know, we don't have to forfeit anything to gain on the other side. We've got a lot of options to move around and make our lineup as potent as possible. So it'll be interesting. They've all done a great job. You know, and the best part about it for me is that they're all willing to do that. If you ask somebody, hey, do you mind trying this? Nope, whatever you want. And they go and do it, and they don't hesitate. Nobody ever gripes about it. They, you know, change gloves if they have to and sprint over there. So there's never any hesitation to do whatever the team needs, which I think is one of the best things about this team, that there's so much team first attitude that you can't help but enjoy being around it and watching them work. It's a lot of fun.
Do the new dimensions, the new fences in the outfield, does that put a little bit more of a value on speed from your outfielders?
Yeah, I think it's going to. You know, we have freshman Cassidy Eck, who's probably the fastest person we've had since I've been here. And she covers a ton of ground in center field, which is good because there's a ton of ground to cover. So I think between her and Wiley Glover, who's a newcomer, she transferred from Marshall, and she covers a lot of ground. We're going to have to figure out what pieces we need to fill those spaces. Now, we have Asia Weber returning and Bailey Nickerson returning in the outfield. And Asia, we saw, she really came to her own at the Fayetteville Regional, where she was, I think she made five or so web gym top 10 sports center like plays in that regional. She just went off. So it took her a little bit to get going. We moved her around a lot last fall too, and tried to get her in a position we thought she would benefit us most. And by the time we got to that regional, she was lights out in the outfield. So she covers a ton of ground. So I think she'll be fine. That's an easy transition for her. And then Cassidy X fast enough. She's one of the fastest people I've seen in a while. It's fun to watch her run.
You've mentioned some of the newcomers. Let's delve a little bit deeper into that. Which of the newcomers that have made strong impressions this fall?
You know, Addie Reese has done a nice job offensively and defensively. Wiley Glover, who I mentioned, Cassidy Eck. Lauren Mills is a freshman from Topeka, and she's a big left-handed hitter, and we haven't talked about her much yet. She's somebody that, in the state of Kansas as a high school athlete, was one of the most feared hitters in the state. Because of that, she got very few pitches to hit. So it's been an adjustment. I wouldn't say a tough adjustment, but it's been kind of eye-opening for her that people aren't afraid of her here like they were in high school. So they're going to come at her. And I think I, off the top of my head, don't know how many times she walked last season in high school, but 10 times more than she struck out. I mean, not even close. She just didn't get pitched to. So she's been... she's been putting in a lot of work to change her swing a little bit, to make her able to hit both sides of the plate and have a little more whip. She's a big, strong kid, so if she gets a hold of it, it's going to be a good thing for our offense. But she's got a little work to do, and she can play first base on defense, but we've been focusing so much on her hitting as of late to get that going, because you know how the lineup's built. If you can hit, we'll figure out the defense. So she's been a big piece. Trying to think of who else we have from a freshman perspective. I think I covered them all.
I'll ask about, again, these are fall numbers, so take them with a little bit of a grain of salt, but it did stand out a little bit. Lauren Mills, who you mentioned, led the team with 7 walks in the fall. Addie Reese had 6. In my experience, sometimes that tends to be a really good indicator whether they're hitting a lot or not, but if they can kind of have an idea of that strike zone, that's something that is going to translate it at some point. Has that been your experience as well?
Yeah, I think a lot of – now sometimes, I would say I agree, the fall numbers are fall numbers, but there's something to be said for them seeing a lot of pitches and trying to take in as much information as they can. So I think that's beneficial. We'll just have to, you know, freshmen are going to be freshmen. They're going to make freshman mistakes just because the game is a little bit quicker and a little bit different. I mean, they've been playing their softball their whole lives, so they have a good foundation. But there are things at the college level that are just different. And sometimes it takes a big aha moment for them to kind of go, oh, well, I get it now, or that makes more sense. So, but I think... You know, overall, all of the freshmen or all the newcomers have come in and really tried to take in as much info or take in as much coaching as they can to make themselves better. So, yeah, Lolo, now that you say that, and she did walk 7 times, and her strikeout, she only struck out once, which is a huge, that's good. We'd much prefer to have 7-1. I don't think it'll be like that all spring. I think the caliber of pitching we'll face in the American specifically, even in our preseason schedule, probably won't be that lopsided. I hope it is. I hope we can get more walks. That's a goal for me in the offense, is to take more free bases and to have better plate discipline. So hopefully everybody's walks are higher this spring.
Have you come up with any impressions about kind of the overall tone of this team offensively? Will it differ from last year? How would you describe that?
You know, my 2 big takeaways from last year's offense were, we were really streaky. When we were hot, we were hot. And when we were cold, it was ice. There wasn't a ton in between. I feel like it was contagious both ways. So that, and I think our timing as an offense, meaning hitting, being on time with different pitchers, was something that we struggled with all year. So we've gone into the fall really talking about getting your swing right, working on your mechanics of your swing, and being confident in producing and repeating good swings over and over again in order to be consistent from a mechanical perspective. And then obviously, timing wise, we're working a lot on everybody being on plane with the pitch as long as possible. So we've kind of overhauling that timing wise and getting the barrel to the ball. And power wise, I think it will come. I think we are going to have more doubles and more triples this year just because we are faster and because our field is a little bit bigger. But I think our strikeouts as a team, hopefully I'm being optimistic in this as well, I think our strikeouts will go down and our walks should go up because I think we'll have better strike zone management. But I'm hopeful that that power piece still is kind of our defining piece of our offense, where we swing hard. We're not going to get cheated up there. We're going to go, and whatever we get, whether it, you know, in middle or out, we're going to drive it where it's pitched. We're going to be able to sit back on a changeup. We're going to be able to cover all of our bases, and really be – we want to be tough outs. We don't want to give out free outs. We don't want to be an easy out. We want to make the pitcher and the opposing defense earn everything that they get against us.
We'll wrap it up. Let's go back to Bailey Lang. We've talked about her as a pitcher. She's also an excellent hitter. How will you think about using her as on the offensive side in the outfield, keeping her fresh and not wearing her down with double duty?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough – it's going to be hard not to have her in the offensive lineup. So whether she's on the mound or in right field or maybe she's the DP, I think as long as she's hitting well, we're going to have to figure that out. And I think – and not to play down the outfield, but I think if she's getting help in the circle, the outfield's not as physically demanding as being on the mound. So that's good. Now, she runs the bases hard. She's athletic and she's in good shape. So she can handle it. And I think she knows this is her last year. So let's put it all out there and let's see what we can do. And I don't think she would tell you anything differently. I think she wants the ball whenever possible. And hopefully we can get her in the, you know, top two or lead off of our lineup. And she might be the best immediate fit to fill Kenzie Wright's shoes in that leadoff spot. At least for now, you know, we'll shuffle the lineup a lot and work matchups and try to figure out what's our best puzzle and what pieces can we put where to make us the best offense. But I think she's going to be tired come May, one way or another, and I think she's okay with that. And we team needs her.
All right, this has been the Roundhouse Podcast. We've wrapped up Wichita State Fall Softball. Thanks for listening. You can read all the Roundhouse content on GoShockers.com. You can subscribe to the podcast. We appreciate your patronage.